Right, we're jumping in today into Parshat Mishpatim. The semester is quickly running away from us, so I'm actually going to try to do what we're going to be able to do as a group with Parshat Mishpatim just today, which is going to leave out a lot of details, but that's also going to be the topic of our shiur, so that's okay. Let's see what we can... What?
Makes sense.
How so?
Details?
Yeah, so that's right. That's exactly where we're going to go. We'll get there in a second. Parshat Mishpatim is one of the three parshiot in the Torah that's incredibly detail-oriented in the mitzvot. Is anybody familiar with what the other parshiot are in the Torah that are this kind of, where really every few psukim is jumping to a new topic and a new mitzvah and a new piece?
Other parshiot where that happens.
Kitisa's three parshiot now in Shmot. That's Chayta Egel. It's a different key. Kitetze, yeah.
Like the
Kitetze. So we've got Mishpatim and Kitetze, and there's one also in the middle, and Kedoshim. Excellent. Those are the three really unique parshiot in the Torah where not only do they include sections of mitzvot, but the bulk of the parsha itself is dedicated to small sections of really quick kind of pumping them out different mitzvot. But this is one of them, and that's going to make it very hard to find, or harder, certainly, to find an underlying theme to the entirety of the parsha. And one of the things that's also going to impact, I think, us not getting as lost in the details. We've been in this, as we go through the shirim, really placing out the underlying principles of what's been happening in each parsha, and there's a lot of detail happening here in each specific piece. Not that it can't happen, but I don't have a clarity on that, nor do I think that we have the time to really kind of tease it out together, unfortunately. But it's unique in that there's only really three parshiot that are structured like that. However, when we do look at this parsha as a whole, Parshat Mishpatim, what is the transition from Yitro to Mishpatim? What's the movement? What's happening? Where is Mishpatim taking place? Why is this here? Why is this coming right after Yitro? What's the nature of the relationship between Parshat Yitro and Parshat Mishpatim? And what we're asking is, what's the nature of the transition? Where is Yitro happening? Where is Mishpatim happening? When are they taking place? What's their connection? Is there a connection? Is it totally random like the rest of Torah is? Chas v'shalom lo alinu, we know that's not true. What's the nature of the transition here? Yeah, Marley.
Does Mishpatim happen like at Har Sinai? The grave they got the Torah?
It happens at Har Sinai right after they got the Torah. What does right after mean? How soon after? A week after? A month after? Did they get to go on vacation first? Did they hike out? See the views, come back to Har Sinai, get the rest. Okay. Yeah.
It transitions from the Sefer Devarot to other laws in the Torah, so it would make sense that I just think that transition makes sense.
To talk about the Aseret HaDibrot and then lots of this stuff.
Yeah, because the Aseret HaDibrot, if the Aseret HaDibrot is supposed to like encompass a lot of Torah, so then it would make sense to lay out a lot of other laws from the Torah.
Say that one more time.
Differently?
No, not necessarily.
If the Aseret HaDibrot encompasses a lot of the Torah, then it would make sense to transition into those other laws in the Torah that it just...
Other laws that are separate from them?
No, it was like... If the Aseret HaDibrot is an outline for different laws, then it makes sense to start talking about those laws.
Some of the details of the laws that we just did in the Aseret HaDibrot.
Yeah, like general to specific.
Awesome. Cool. So there's some sort of contrast here that we're already identifying between the general and the specific. What words, as an aside, I mean, we're just throwing away the whole end of the shiur right now, but it's right there. What words do we use? Kalim and Pratim, which we'll come back to over the course of the next 20 minutes or so. No. Nothing. It never is. I apologize. Okay. But sticking back even to just geography and time, before we jump to content, which you've already started to pour in, and building off of where Margalit started with, so for that we actually need to look at the totality of the parsha as a whole. Don't start with Eila Mishpatim. Let's jump to the end. Let's see the whole parsha. Where does the parsha identify for us where exactly this is taking place? Take a look in Perek Chaf Dalet.
How do you do this?
Nothing. Why don't I say what?
Zahash Kadek
disagreed,
it's fine.
Okay.
You're calling out everybody's wording with everything.
Jumping into Perek Chaf Dalet. After all of the details of these laws, so then the Torah sort of focuses out for a little bit as it concludes the Parsha. V'el Moshe Amar, Aleil Hashem, Atad Aron Adav Avihu, V'shim Zvizikne Yisrael, V'ishtachavitem et Mirachok. God tells Moshe to come up to Har Sinai with Aron, Nadav and Avihu, the 70 Zakenim. V'anigash Moshe levado al Hashem, Moshe alone goes up, V'him lo igashu, V'am lo ya'alu imam. Vayavo Moshe vayisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha'mishpatim vayan kol ha'am kol achad vayomru kol ha'drim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. So he comes back with these things, and they say na'aseh, which is a preface for? Which happens a few pasukim later, when everything gets clarified. Pasuk Zayin. Vayikach sefer ha'brit vayikra be'ozneh ha'am vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. When do we say na'aseh v'nishma? What?
After we heard everything.
In order to do what? What is that? What does that do? What does Na'aseh v'nishma do? What is its function? What is it accomplishing?
Peace of covenant.
Our bread.
Acceptance.
Our acceptance of the Torah, which I think is what you might have intended with that word anyway. But it's we're accepting the Torah. Which means, when does Kabbalat HaTorah happen in the sense that we receive, we accept, we take the Torah upon ourselves?
At the end of it.
At the end of Mishpatim. So when is Parshat Mishpatim taking place? Concurrently. The Aseret HaDibrot and the Mishpatim are given over at the same time in the same place. And at the end of hearing all of that, what do we say? Na'aseh v'nishma.
But then we still have more mitzvot to get.
100%. And again, that comes back to why these mitzvot and why these specific... Those are questions that, again, I don't necessarily have the answers to. Not great ones, and would need more time to really go through almost pasuk by pasuk in this parsha, as opposed to Kedoshim, as opposed to Ki Teitzeh, as opposed to all the other ones that appear everywhere else. When we only had a Chodesh, we very significantly had a Chodesh Zelachem in Parshat Bo, so we spent time on a Chodesh Zelachem. We could spend the rest of the year just on going through piece by piece the Mishpatim. But in any event, it's all happening at the same time in the same place. Meaning, Parshat Yitro isn't the Parsha of Kabbalat HaTorah. What's the Parsha of Kabbalat HaTorah? No.
Both.
Right? Yitro and Mishpatim are two parts of it. In the same way that Yitziat Mitzrayim, we identify a Parsha as Yitziat Mitzrayim is Vayira, Bo, and Mishalach. Kabbalat HaTorah is the combination of Yitro and Mishpatim. And that's why only here do we finally say Na'aseh v'nishma. Because we're accepting everything that happened in Yitro and Mishpatim. If we're unifying them together and saying that they're two parts of the same whole, which, as an aside, already pointed out additionally, that actually jumps out from the Pesukim themselves. Let's just go back to the Pesuk that we just read. One of the ones that we just read, Perek Havdala Pesuk Gimel. Vayavo Moshe came, vayisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha'mishpatim. How could you divide that? Very simply.
Kol divrei Hashem
is one.
And mishpatim is the other.
So what categories mishpatim fall into?
The pratim, the second
one. I'm saying mishpatim. The mishpatim are mishpatim. So why would Kol Divrei Hashem fall into Parshat Yitro?
Because maybe Hashem only spoke.
Don't think too hard. Kol Divrei Hashem.
Okay, general, it's everything.
It's Divrei, Dibrot. Very simply. That's like you're not even going to have to jump all the way to Divrei is coming from the word Dibrot. Kilu, Moshe gave over Kol Divrei Hashem, all of the Dibrot, and all of the Mishpatim. And to that they said Na'aseh, and then they said Na'aseh v'nishma. Very simply in the text itself, that it's emphasizing those two slices. So while they're one whole, they're also two halves of a whole. How do I also know there's two halves of a whole? Because We make them two separate parshiot. So they're linked. They're the two halves of Kabbalat HaTorah. They're distinct, but they're two parts of one whole. And what I want to spend the rest of the time of our time together today discussing is, what's the difference between Yitro and Mishpatim? Why do we need both? What's the nature of each one as contrasted with the other? In what way is this the other half of Kabbalat HaTorah? Why are they different? So building right to where you all already jumped with what's already on the board, let's build to it slowly. Meaning, that's the goal, but that's okay. Kilu, let's build it up and give it more content around what you all have said so far. The Dibrot, as Marissa went back to and pointed out, that we've discussed in Parsha Yitro, the Aseret HaDibrot are the 10 fundamental Yisodot. They're the foundations, they're the premise, they encompass all of the other mitzvot. And the word that we've already attached to that is, these are the Kalim. The 10 more general concepts into which all of the rest of Torah is going to exist. Those are the Kalim. But the Torah can't just be given over as Kalim. It has to also be given over with the breakdown of these Kalim into their details, which you refer to as Pratim, and that's what you already have on the board, because you jumped right to it. These are the Kalim, and these are the Pratim. Parsha Yitro is giving us the Kalim, and Parshat Mishpatim is giving us the Pratim. That's exactly what Mishpatim accomplishes. It's very specific, very down-to-earth, very detail-oriented. It functions in a way that we can relate to. It's our very specific details of our own human interactions. We'll get more into the content of that in a moment. But it's a lot of it's between us. What happens when my ox scores your ox? What happens if I hit this person? I hit that person? It's all of these laws that are very specific, detail-oriented, down to earth. And the two need to come hand in hand. In fact, the Torah itself emphasizes that, and Chazal pick up on it immediately. Those of you who have, hopefully, a full chumash in front of you, jump forward to the end of Sefer Vayikra, to Parshat Behar. It's a somewhat well-known Rashi, but you think about that what's being emphasized there is exactly what we're emphasizing here. The first pasuk in Parshat Behar, toward the end of Sefer Vayikra, give a second for people to find it. The end of Sefer Vayikra is Behar, and then Buchokotai, and then the end. So it's really, really toward the end there. Got it? Don't got it? Getting there? Got it? Okay. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor. God tells Moshe at Har Sinai as follows. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki tavo al ha'aretz she'ani noten lachem v'shav ta'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem. What's being discussed here?
Shemitah.
And so, the Mefarshim, or certainly amongst the Mefarshim, Rashi picks up on, and then quotes Chazal to give an answer, because Chazal also picked up on it. What's odd about the first pasuk? Behar Sinai. What was given over at Har Sinai? Everything. So what's the point of emphasizing here that Shemitah was given over at Har Sinai? That's where the somewhat colloquial phrase of Ma Inyan Shemitah Esau Har Sinai comes from, which we use to mean, what the heck does one thing have to do with the other? But that's actually what's being asked by Chazal. Ma Inyan Shemitah Esau Har Sinai. What does Shemitah, why does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai more than anything else? Why are you putting those two things together? But that's where that phrase comes from. I don't know why we're laughing. Is it because, have anybody heard of that before? Use that.
Yeah.
We run in different circles. it is quoted in certain circles as a, it's like, what does one thing have to do with the other? That's what the line is used to mean, but it's actually used colloquially and it comes from this Rashi, because nobody learns Chazal, and it actually comes from this Chazal. So Rashi answers the question based on Chazal, and I'll just read you the Sifra. The Sifra, we don't necessarily need Rashi for it. Says the opening Midrash Sifra on Vayikra. Ella, Mashmita ne'emru. Listen to the words here. Mashmita ne'emru klaloteha v'dikdukeha b'sinai. Just like Shmita was given over with all of its klalim and all of its, use the word dikdukim here, but all of its specifics at Sinai. Af kulam ne'emru klalotehem v'dikdukehem b'sinai. Why is it using Shemitah as an example of this? Why is it happening in Vayikra? Those are great questions for another time. But Chazal are pointing out here that the reason why he uses the word Har Sinai here in this context is to make sure you know that just like there's this level of detail by Shemitah at Har Sinai, there was this level of detail by all mitzvot. Because mitzvot must be given over both as Kalim and Pratim. And Rashi actually inserts the word Pratim back into the mix. He always, very often paraphrases Chazal and adds or subtracts. But he says, this is quoting now from Rashi on that pasuk, Elama Shemitah ne'emru klaloteha upratoteha v'diktukeha b'sinai. He actually intentionally inserts the word Pratim back in. He doesn't want to compromise the measure, so he keeps diktukim in there. But he actually puts back in there Pratim, because we're talking about Kalim and Pratim. Yes?
How long were they standing there? If they went through everything?
They at least went through Parshat Mishpatim. I don't know if they went through all details. I suspect that they didn't go through all of the details at that moment. Again, why these details? Why did they have to stand there for, I mean, based on shul experience, what probably amounted to at least, you know, an hour, 45, not an hour, no Kriya Sora is that long, but, you know, 35 minutes of, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu literally saying out Mishpatim.
No, but wait, didn't we just say that there are this many details for all the mitzvot?
So they were all given over at Har Sinai.
The details.
These details in Mishpatim. What this measure is bringing out is that the two have to come together. What we're bringing out in Yitro Mishpatim is that at the very least, this level of Prat of Torah needed to come along with this level of Klal of Torah.
Okay, so not any deeper Prat than this. So all they had to do was say Mishpatim.
I'm not clear enough on that.
Okay.
I'm not clear enough on that.
Okay.
How much was given just to Moshe? How much was given to all people at that time? I'm not clear enough on that to give a legitimate answer. I have to think about it and look into it, because there probably is an answer out there. Okay? Kalim and Pratim, given over at the same time, and that's the two things that are happening here. Yitro is the Kalim, Mishpatim is the Pratim. And that's why they come together to form one Kabbalah Torah. Clear? Good? Questions? That you want to ask? Thoughts, comments, reflections, anybody? But? Anybody? No? Okay. Let's take it one more layer and we'll try to link the two together. While it's hard to tie this entire parsha together, we're not going to attempt to do that. Let's at least see what's happening over the course of this parsha. What laws start getting talked about at the beginning, at the get-go? Just even look, if you have an article, look at your shoulder captions. I'm saying just like, put it out there. What's happening in this parsha? What's the build? What's going on? What's the movement? Start yelling stuff out.
Murder.
Let's be more specific and less judgmental. What's the first thing, which is none of those three?
Civil law.
What's the first thing?
A Jewish bondsman.
What?
A Jewish bondsman.
In Hebrew it's called?
Evet Ivri.
First we have the laws of Evet Ivri. Good. After Evet Ivri, we start transitioning into murder and death. What we start transitioning into what? What laws are we talking about? First we have Amma Ivriyah, then?
Rotzeach.
Makayish Vameit. All the laws of Nezikin, when one person hits another person, damages another person, sometimes they die, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're chayiv, sometimes they're not. But the damages that come from one person to another. We then take a transition as we go forward. We move out of the realm of one person, one person either intentionally or accidentally attacking one person. Then what do we move and transition into? What is an animal to me? What is it?
Property.
It's my property. What happens if my property damages somebody else or their property? What?
You're right.
I wasn't asking you to judge me. Meaning, we get into the question of what happens if my... You guys are all very clear that the other person... It's the other person's fault. I want them held accountable. We move into, what if my property damages somebody else? Damages somebody else's property. We're moving from my property and property damage, as opposed to specifically me being harmed or harming. We then, toward the end of Perek Chav Bet, move into a whole different realm.
Still property.
No. End of Perek Chav Bet.
No, you seduce somebody else's betrothed.
That's the middle, correct. Then we move into damages through relationships, seduction and rape. very serious issues that then get brought up, but that's also damages through those actions. And then after that?
Sensitivity to the helpless and abandoned.
You're literally reading shoulder captions now. Keep going, farther down.
The commandment to extend free loans.
So first there, we said that we lost the judges and the...
Oh, no, that's the beginning of Chav Gimel, no?
No.
At least according to...
Oh, no, yeah.
Is it already Chav Gimel?
Yeah.
It's open on Chumash. Whatever, Beseder. So at the beginning of Chav Gimel, then we move to...
integrity of judicial process.
We have judges, we have Nisim, which are really talking about kings. Then we get into what...
Before
was what? Toward the end of the film, I'm just going to actually take out...
The same number
announcers. Maybe we have different Chumashim? I hope not. That would be
maybe,
awkward.
Maybe there's a typo on there.
That would be super awkward.
Would be.
No, it's afterward. The beginning of Chav Gimel, correct, is... I had it wrong in my notes. At the beginning of Chav Gimel is the judges and is the Shoftim, and we get to also... we get to the Nesim and all of these things, but then later on in Chav Gimel, toward the end of the laws... What do we get to there? I'm looking at it now. In the middle and toward the end of Chav Gimel. I don't know where you are, but Margalit seems to be correct. Her Chumash is in the right place. What? Shalosh Regalim. Before that we have Shabbat, then we have Shalosh Regalim. Even if we were to just divide it into two simple categories, which Elisa did, but then sort of backtracked on. But what two categories can we very simply divide them into if we were to oversimplify this parsha?
But then it's going back to the general as opposed to specific.
But what categories of laws are we talking about? The beginning is talking very much about Olamakom. What happens when I damage you or you damage me? And Evid Ivri is between us. I don't know if it's been Adam L'Chaviro at that point. Chaviro is already a tough term to use there, but at least been Adam L'Adam. Right? What happens if my property damages your property? That's very much between us. Right? We move on to even in damages even damages through relationships. That's between one person and another person. But then once we move into the end of the tail end of the parsha, suddenly we're back into Shabbat, Chagim, the Shalosh Regalim. That's clearly in contrast to everything that we've been talking about until there. So the direction of Parshat Mishpatim is going from an Adam. To Ben Adam Lamakom. Okay. Very generally. Again, I said we're not going to get into the details of the detailed parsha. Granted. Now, if we switch gears and look back to Parshat Yitro, which direction does Parshat Yitro go?
The
what?
The opposite.
How so?
I mean, if you just look at the Aseret Dibros.
Are the first five, and the second five are? So here we very clearly go... Ben Adam l'makom to Ben Adam l'chaveiro.
Ben Adam l'makom l'chaveiro.
Yes, and the content in the middle is Ben Adam l'chaveiro. True. and we could be Doris that in and of itself, 100%. So the question is, based on keeping in line these two things that we've talked about, why do the klalim move in one direction? Why did the klalim go from bin Adam l'makom to bin Adam l'chaveiro, whereas the pratim go from bin Adam l'chaveiro to bin Adam l'makom? What's the relationship between one being a klal-oriented parsha and taking it in one direction versus a prat-oriented parsha taking it specifically in the opposite direction? That's where we at least add a layer of complexity here. Because if not, why are we here? Make it more fun. Yeah.
Okay, so starting at the second parsha, I feel like the the details, like, you think they're nitty-gritty when you're doing them with a friend, like, Ben Lechavero, and then it comes out into the Ben Adam Lamakom to remind you, like, you're doing this all because Hashem said so.
100%. That's a beautiful arc within Parshat Mishpatim itself. 100%. It's a beautiful arc within Parshat Mishpatim itself. And there are actually a lot of shirim that will deal with that in and of itself. Solid. Any other ideas? In companion with that, not in contrast to it. Somebody, when I already put this out to his share, it was like, somebody got it immediately, and I was like, how would you have thought of that connection? But it's actually really brilliant. Does anybody see what this sounds like? Moving Ben Adam L'Makom to Adam L'Chaviro, and then moving back to Ben Adam L'Chaviro back to Ben Adam L'Makom. If you were to attach that to something, another image within Chumash that we've seen, what might you attach that to?
Did we do this recently?
Not recently. So I would not have made that connection, but that was the connection that was made. Yes, I think it's. I would not have made that connection. Meaning, you have Yaakov's dream, where you have the Malachi Elokim Olim V'Yordimbo. The Malachi Elokim Olim V'Yordimbo, says Sherry, which is coming from. Ben Adam L'Makom, coming from, if you will, from the more godly-oriented space down into the more earthly-oriented space, and then from the more earthly-oriented space back up to the more godly-oriented space. That's the dream that Yaakov Avinu has. Where does Yaakov Avinu have that dream? Makom HaMikdash, which is not relevant to, sorry, which is not relevant at this particular moment. The Mikubalim point out... Sorry, the Megubalim point out, which I'm having fun at this point, and this is a somewhat well-known gematria, that Sinai equals Sulam. That there are a lot of comparisons between the Sulam dream of Yaakov and what happens at Har Sinai. And so this could be one layer of meaning there, of the requirement to go both from the top down, from God down to earth, and both from earth back up to God. Both sides of that. The Ben Adam L'Makom to the Ben Adam L'Chaviro, and the Ben Adam L'Chaviro back up to the Ben Adam L'Makom. It's one potential connection that's pointed out. Let's take it one last step further, and we'll start to wrap up. Looking at how each of the Parshiot ends, and this will hopefully tie everything together. Yitro, Parshat Yitro, talks about the giving over the Aseret HaDibrot. How many Dibrot are actually given over by God to the people? Himself.
Two.
Why only two? Because they died. See, Sammy? Sam is with you. The Sams unite in murder and death.
They
do. They do. Barcha Nishmatan.
They pass away.
They transition out of this world. Barcha Nishmatan. Every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu says one of the words slam into them. It's such an overwhelming, powerful spiritual experience, the Gemara describes, that their souls fly out of their bodies. And then the angels come and shove their souls back into their bodies. And this goes on for two dibrot, which then makes sense that the response of the people is finally like, got the point. So not for me. Very cool. I've got a great idea. Moshe, you go up, because you seem to have this whole body-soul thing working out for you. It stays together. You can keep it together. You go get the rest of them and bring them back down.
They realize what happens. Like, they die, they woke up, they're like, okay.
Their souls flew out of their bodies. I don't know if we can call that death. I don't know what that is. I don't know what angels shoving the souls back in means either. That's Chazal. But I'm saying, like, whether that's meant literally or not and how what the experience was for them, I don't know. But the point is the souls are flying out and coming back in. That's Chazal. And that's based on...
Does it say that they died in Chumash? Or, like, they just...
When Bnei Yisrael come to Moshe and say, can you please do the rest? Perek Chav Pasuk Tetvav, this is the end of Parshat Yitro. V'miru'al Moshe, daber atah imanu, v'nishma. You go up and you find out and you tell it to us. That would be great. Don't let God talk to us. Why? Pen namut. Lest we die. And that's where it's built off of.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's where it's built off of. But either way, it's a chazal. Parsha Yitro is going from makom to chaveiro, from the top to the bottom. And what happens at the end of that process? They actually die from each word of each dibor. Parchan nishmatan. They can't take it in. In Kabbalistic terminology, which we actually used already in Parsha Yitro, the vessels, the kalim, the vessels couldn't withstand the light, and they shattered. The vessels couldn't hold the light. They couldn't handle the dibor of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them. What happens on the flip side at the end of Parshat Mishpatim? Sorry, we are very close. What happens at the end of Parshat Mishpatim? So there's a kind of weird, funny interaction. Weird's not the right word, that's a judgmental word. It's an unusual interaction for Chumash and description in Chumash. Where, coming back to Sukkim that we were looking at before, everybody, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, the Shemuzi can even start going up the mountain. And when they go up the mountain, in Perek Avdalad, Pasuk Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Yidalev, till the end of that Parshia, they have this, like, crazy vision of godliness. You tell me what these words mean. It's unbelievable. They go up, Perek Avdalad, Pasuk, Yud, Vayiru et Elokei Yisrael, they see the God of Israel. Assumably through a nevuah and not an actual image of God and not meant to be an image of God, but they see Elokei Yisrael. V'tachat raglav, and underneath God's legs, so to speak. K'maaseh livnata sapir. This sapphire brickwork underneath his legs. U'ke'etzem ha'shamayim latohar. Very lofty, out there, crazy psukim of this vision that they have. And so what's the response when they see this? Last pasuk of that parshia, toward the very end of the parsha, Ve'el atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. To the atzilei b'nei Yisrael, God did not send out his hand. What does it sound like he wanted to do? What happens when God sends out his hand? Sammy?
He kills.
Oh. See? It's not God is going to go and somehow give them a negative. Somehow what they did was wrong. He's going to strike them down. He doesn't. He didn't send out his hand despite the fact that he seems to have wanted to. Vayechazu et ha'elokim, and they see God, vayochlu vayishtu, and they eat and drink. It's happening there. So first of all, we're not going to try to unpack the actual divua itself. Who are these Atzilei Yisrael? Well, Atzilim are like the people who are younger. We've got Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Shivim, Zakenim. Who can we definitely cancel out of youngsters? The Zakenim, right? The elders, right? Who's left? Aaron, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu. Who's left as the elders and the younger people? Nadav and Avihu are identified as the younger people who God wants to wipe out. And what are they doing? What are they doing when they see this incredible vision of spirituality and godliness? They eat and drink. And for some reason, because of that, and we'll talk about that more with Nadav and Avihu next semester when we get to their full story in Parsha Shmini. We'll come back to this. God, in fact, Chazal point out here that God delays their punishment. He doesn't want to punish them now because it's a glorious day of Matan Torah. He's going to push it off to somewhere else. So what does he push it off to? Talk about the Mishkan! Yeah, it's like, why not ruin that day? So we'll talk about that in Parshat Shmini. It's weird to push it off from one glorious day to another glorious day, and that seems to be the reason for pushing it off. Okay. But he pushes off their punishment, which is incredibly severe in Shmini. And he wants to exact punishment on them because when they see this, they eat and drink. Say Chazal that they're eating and drinking like we would go and eat and schmooze with friends. The origin of the word schmooze. It's not really there. Like they're schmoozing with friends and looking at them and they're eating and drinking and they're having lunch over, they're sitting with God. And something totally wrong with that. Where does that perspective come from? Where do they think that that's okay? Why is that coming out in Parsha Mishpatim? Because if you only have one direction on either side, it doesn't work. If God comes down in Parsha Yitro and hits you with these immense klalim, these things that are supernal, these things that are all-encompassing, he comes from the top down, but out of the makom, if you stop him out of the makom, the vessels can't hold the light. Everything shatters. Parchu nishmatan. Bnei Yisrael can't survive the experience if you come only from the top down. What happens, though, if you only go from the bottom up?
that's not significant enough. Maybe.
You don't recognize the glory of what you're experiencing when you get to the Bein Adam L'Makom. When you go from the bottom up. And suddenly you're eating and drinking in the presence of the glory of God and don't get that you need to leave the details and the earthiness behind and be in a totally separate space. I already bring this up, but what is that even contrasted to? Where does Moshe Rabbeinu go next? It's actually at the end of this parsha. Where does he go next? After this whole interaction. What? Where is God is everywhere, but where is up to where? He doesn't go up to Shemayim, he goes up to Har Sinai. Right? And that's why we're gonna get to Kitisa, meaning things he goes up 40 days and doesn't come down when they think he's supposed to come down, etc. Right? When he's on the mountain, what doesn't he do?
Eat
and drink. Dafka. I already didn't point that out, but it's very specified. That's exactly what he didn't do when he was up there, was eat and drink. Moshe Rabbeinu having that balance that we talked about at the end of Parsha Yitro, somehow potentially being this joining of that vessel and the light in a way that actually works, that he can be the one to transmit. But if you have only the top down, the vessels shatter from the light. If you have only from the bottom up, there's no recognition of the significance. What do you need? What does Har Sinai need to be in order to function properly, in order to truly be able to be accepted? It needs to be with Malachi Elohim Olim V'Yordim Bo. You need both sides of the puzzle. You need the Kalim and the Prati. You need the Ben Adam L'Chaviro and the Ben Adam L'Kavim. You need to have a synthesis between the two. You need Yitro and you need Mishpatim. Because each one on their own can't sustain. If it's only coming from the top down, it can't be held. If it's coming only from the bottom up, we lose perspective. And the two need to come together and be synthesized as the two halves of Matan Torah. To actually conclude, because I think it's a great shir on Eved Ivri and why this parsha starts with Eved Ivri, but we just don't have enough time. So just to finish off with one little piece. Why the word Mishpatim is the word for this parsha? What are Mishpatim, and what are they contrasted to very, very frequently? Different meaning, yeah. What did somebody else say? Chukim versus Mishpatim, two different types of laws. Which one is which? What do they do?
Chukim are like the ones that you don't know the reason for, and Mishpatim are the ones that are like obvious.
The ones where we do have some rational understanding of. Why would Mishpat... What word is also in the word Mishpat?
Just.
What's a shofet? A judge. Discerns, looks at the facts, teases them apart, is able to put them together. The Mishpatim are things that we can think about, the things that we have more of an active part in, where we can make a judgment. We can have shoftim who can decide the Mishpat based on Torah law in this world. It's based on our more limited, detail-oriented perspective. We're able to handle those details. When we go more big, more abstract, more transcendental, that's where we're moving toward the chukim. So without getting into what chukim are, let's use a word that we have been using. We move more toward the kalim. Mishpatim are prat. Oriented laws. Focus on what we can see in this world, we can identify in this world, we can discern in this world, we can judge between in this world. And so therefore, the parsha that's dealing with, which is the Pratim parsha, and the Pratim half of Matan Torah, becomes Parshat Mishpatim. And starting with Bein Adam L'Chaviro, moving toward Bein Adam L'Makom, and for some more successfully than others, in recognizing the balance needs to be struck between the two. Those were a lot of pieces. I think it does at least give us some sort of paradigm for how to understand Matan Torah as a whole. Again, why there used to be two parts, Kalim and Mishpatim, to see both Ben Adam L'Makom down to Ben Adam L'Chaviro, Ben Adam L'Chaviro back up to Ben Adam L'Makom, why we need both sides, the dangers of only having one side over the other, and why we need that synthesis, and the fact that the whole Torah itself, as we saw in Parshat Behar, emphasizing the Medrash there, that the details and the Kalim need to be given together. The only thing that I will add, which I already didn't say, but I think is obvious, things that we've talked about in other contexts many times over the course of this semester, which one has to come first? And that brings us back to what we started off the semester with in the very first introductory shiur. and the first shiur in Derech Hashem, and which the Ramchal starts off Derech Hashem with, which is his paraphrase of the Medrash Sifrei, where he says, Le'olam yihu divrei Torah b'yadecha, words of Torah should always be in your hands, klalim velo pratim. Meaning, these are both two halves of the whole, and they could have been in either order. What I didn't address is, why this order? And I think it's obvious that the reason why they're in this order is because, as the Ramchal points out, you need both, but what's going to allow you to actually handle both? The klalim will give you the capacity to hold all of those details. And so both are necessary, but it's always going to be in this order, because it's the klalim that creates the framework by which to actually hold and maintain those pratim. That was our very superficial and cursory exploration of Parshat Mishpatim. I encourage all of you between now and Wednesday, or I don't know, for the rest of your lives, to look into the details of Parshat Mishpatim and see how that fits into the framework we built or not, or continue to think it out. And again, despite the fact that we're missing some good stuff, we are actually going to jump right to Parshat Truma on Wednesday. So between now and Wednesday, please take a look at Parshat Truma, especially since many of you may have one idea of what the Mishkan is and how exciting that Parsha is, and hopefully we'll provide a much different perspective on how exciting that Parsha can be. To be continued.